This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. We are doing this recording just a few days after Mile High 4 out in Colorado, the Mile High City at 5,208 feet. And I'm very full of enthusiasm after just finishing Mile High, how much people loved it. It's hands down, this was the best one yet for the podcast. And I can contact myself I can use as compared to and also what we do here, because this is not a Mile High chiropractic seminar podcast. And I'm very excited to have the guest that we have today, my guest, because she's part of our Mile High community. If I believe right, three of the Mile High years, and building raving fans in this region of the country. And she's also a dear friend, Dr. Stephanie Harris. Welcome, glad to have you here. So, coming just a few days off of what you say, while, you know, coming off the weekend just a couple days.
Oh, it's kind of crazy. It was such a perfect weekend, and the love in the room was not just the quality of the attendees. Is just outstanding.
Right.
Yeah.
That which is amazing. It's a community as an for next year is open. It's milehighchiroregistration.com. That what we're doing is one of the things people love was the Mile High guidebooks. I know you always use those. And we're going to start with people that registered that weren't there, because if you were there, you got a guidebook and a T-shirt. And T-shirts left, and so we're going to mail those to people from past year, which is a good gift. So, talk about you and tell us how you found your way into chiropractic. Let's start with that.
Sure. Yeah, I have a great story. I was just a gal who was a cook. I had a bachelor of dietitian, so I have a bachelor of science in nutrition from University of Texas. And I worked at foods. I worked at local grocery stores and natural grocery stores and. I was making my way along and I wanted a career, and I happened to be seeing a chiropractor who had a tonal approach and it was helping me, and that chiropractor happened to be really good friends with Jay Kamarick. And so Jay walks in and I'm like, I never had a structural adjustment. I was like, I'm curious. I'd like to try it. And and so I got on his table and Danny, he opened a part of my soul that had long been closed, and just this beautiful self-love came out. I think I cried for like 45 minutes. I couldn't stop crying. After my first adjustment with him, and there's just no looking back from an experience like that. So I started following him around, and finally, he's like, why don't you go to chiropractic school? And you know, I hadn't really put two and two together. So I drove home that day going, I hope my boyfriend, who's now my husband, I hope Craig's down with this, because this is what I'm doing.
It's a big life change.
It was a big life change. It was huge. And so I went to Life West and graduated in 2008, valedictorian of my class. And came back to Durango, and I've been here ever since practicing. So.
Which is awesome. And that's what we want to have as part of Mile High, is the community of doctors in this region, Colorado, Nebraska, Wyoming, etc., that need a home for chiropractic, which we're grateful that you call Mile High that home for you. Now, talking about the Durango chiropractors, I know Liam Schubel is a big fan of Durango. Mm-hmm. I love the Durango docs. I love that there's a Durango Chiropractic Association, and you guys do some philosophy. Tell me a little bit about your fellow chiropractors in Durango and what you guys have worked on or tried to develop.
Yeah, I feel really fortunate that we're a small, very isolated town of less than 20,000 people, and we've got some just chiropractors here who enjoy getting together to just be with each other as colleagues. And we had, different professional alliances form over people sharing practices or sharing CAs. We've just made new friends, and it's just been amazing to come together, even with people that practice differently, but still practic. And it's just been the love in that community is just growing and growing as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And that's great. And I ask you that because I want people that listen to this podcast know that there's big chiropractors in the town. If they can create community out of that, it will help them, where they are. And they need that.
We do need that. We absolutely need that, because that's part of the problem of being in Durango. We are so isolated from the rest of the state. I will say one thing about the Durango Chiropractic Alliance. I hope I can say it without crying. I went through some serious medical issues last year while my daughter went through cancer treatment up in Denver, and I wasn't able to practice. And the Durango Chiropractic Alliance did a one-day fundraiser for my family and raised $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
In one day. And it just speaks volumes to who these people are and what they stand for.
And here's the thing. I get sick and tired of chiropractors tearing each other down and pointing fingers. We have a vision of changing the world, and sometimes we don't treat each other like we're on the same vision. You know, impacting our community, you know, impacting our local community so that there's a global vision through that. And so we need to have some camaraderie, and that's a beautiful expression of that. And so also impact state boards and state associations. You know, we have to be cognizant of what's going on in our backyard, and that often means making sure you're not alone and you're connecting with other doctors. Now, you have an interesting story, which is, you know, with your daughter and your chiropractor, and here you are with your daughter with a significant medical situation or health situation. And that, from a philosophical standpoint, you know, one, this just being a mom and a chiropractor is a unique experience, right? And a special experience. And then being a mom and a chiropractor and with handling a child with a health challenge is another experience, you know, and doing their best to thrive. Let's have a little bit of a conversation, if you can, about how that was for you, or how you were coming to terms with that in terms of your philosophy and your values for chiropractic. Because I would imagine if it was me, it would test, it would try and test my values. That's been the case when my kids were significantly ill at times. So share a little bit about that experience.
I'd love to share that. You know, it tested everything, Danny.
I would imagine. Not
everything. I feel like in some ways it just leveled me to ground zero so I can rebuild, you know, but and not just chiropractically, but, you know, and spiritually and everything. So what was I going to say about that? It strengthened my philosophy because I truly believe that, I mean, she was in an inpatient for 4.5 months. We were in a round-the-clock, 24/7 medical reality, no immune system, because she had, you know, under really intense chemo. So I had to throw everything, almost everything I thought I knew about health out the window and trust this life-saving medical process.
Right.
But in the process, what I learned, I mean, I had docs like you and Jay Kamarick and a bunch of really wonderful network docs. I don't want to try to name them all because I'll leave somebody out. But from the Denver area, coming in every week to adjust her and my family in the hospital. And what I learned out of the experience, my takeaway is that, that there's nothing more important than raising your kids to preserve the integrity of their nervous system, to preserve and promote the integrity, I believe, saved her life and helped her thrive and tolerate that crazy toxic medical process, which I also am grateful for that as well. But.
Well, and that is vital for people to get philosophically. Like, there is very important life-saving value in many medical arenas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and also strengthening a person's body so that it can maximize its capacity to heal by not having an obstructed nervous system, or have their nervous system in the greatest level of health and integrity it can be, is huge. So that it can heal as well as adapt to what it has to now handle on top of that. Those things can work at the same time, you know. And there's so much of, obviously, and there's so much of that thought process that was part of chiropractic history, and many still people still have that of, like, well, you know, if you ever do, only thing you ever need is an adjustment. Like, that's not our, you know, most strict chiropractors or focus or values. It's like chiropractic provides one thing, and it's freeing your nervous system. It's not a panacea. It doesn't mean that you don't ever need anything else.
Yeah, I really learned that, and it just gives me respect for medicine and, you know, I totally agree, Danny. Chiropractic's a wonderful tool. It isn't a fancy. I think that's a realistic expectation for us as chiropractors to embody as well, to believe in what we do wholeheartedly, but to also know that it's not a panacea.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not, yeah, exactly. Anything else that you want to share? Like, so you're 4 months in an inpatient clinic. People are coming to check you. Anything else about relative to her getting adjusted that you want to share?
Relative to the healing process. I'm kind of coming up blank, but
that's okay.
It's all in there. I just would have to prepare, I think, to come out of that. I was really surprised. I will say, you know, I would tell the nurse, I'd be like, hey, there's a chiropractor coming in to adjust Chloe. It's real light touch, you know. And they're just like, yeah, whatever.
Well, and that's another interesting, versus nobody can come in the room, which is a different, sometimes you're afraid that's going to be the case. So that's good that that was not the case.
I'm really open to it, and I was really shocked. I thought they would be like, oh, what's that going to do for her? They were just like, whatever, that's great,
Now, switching gears a little bit, being mom and being solo practitioner and juggling kids, family, mom hat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And chiropractor hat. Any insights to that you want to share for the people that are, same story?
Yeah, well, what I would share is that family comes first, and I learned that big time. I could probably write a book from what I learned from this unique situation I've been through with close cancer, but your family comes first, and when you put your family first and get your priorities in line, then you can, there's room for everything else. You have to know how to prioritize.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and you know what? I think you just hit something big. You maybe want to write that book.
I do, actually, one day, Danny. I would love to. I mean, it's all in there. I have to access that. And it's
right.
Just for some reason not up there on the surface this morning.
So
yeah.
Now let's talk about you. So you're a Colorado chiropractor. You've never been to Mile High. And now you call it home.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, and you feel really connected to the people that attend, that you see mm-hmm. each year and see between. Tell me about how that experience started, even going to the first event years ago.
Yeah. I didn't share my Mile High story. I didn't hear about it the first year, and I think I started seeing it on Facebook the second year. And when you live in Durango, it's 6 hours to Denver that you travel every year. And I was going to some stuff that was interesting, but not inspiring and not exciting. And I was coming home making new friends. I was just going and coming back for my CE credits. And then I signed up Mile High. I'm like, great, philosophy and all this right in Colorado. This is perfect. So. And then you friended me on Facebook and started tagging me and the other attendees in all their posts. And I was like, well, I'm a part of this thing and I haven't even been there yet. And just that culture of inclusiveness, I walked in there feeling really welcomed, even though I didn't actually speak to you that first event, because you looked, my first event, the second year, you looked busy. So I was like, well, one more time. And then, I reached out afterwards and then, you came to the hospital and that's there. The rest is history. But the part about, I just found this group of people at Mile High who, and all the groups of people that are there, who are just really wonderful people to be around.
Right. There's a huge sense of camaraderie. I remember that you went to your first Shubel Vision program.
I did. I found that through Mile High. Yeah, I did. I went right to Shubel Vision.
and he will be glad that we mentioned that. now then, what was it like for you coming back each year?
Coming back home?
To Mile High each year.
Oh, coming back.
Going into it now 3 years in a row.
It just gets better and better and better for me. I mean, you have friends there now. When you come a few years in a row, you make friends, and then there's just more to look forward to every year. I know you're hearing this left and right, Danny, but it just gets better every year. I actually love how this year you ended it on Saturday night, and then CPR and the documentation was the next day, and it was nice to have Sunday as a travel day.
Yeah, that's why we made that change. And I know that threw off some people, but Sunday as a travel day is much better for people.
It was perfect because there's people that traveled from all over the country and even as far as New Zealand to get there. So
right, there are people that traveled all over the world.
And yes,
you can't have half a program on Sunday; it makes it harder for them. So this way, Thursday and Sunday is travel day. Here's the other thing that I want to say, and I know you'll appreciate that. This someone who loves Colorado, you've lived. We've lived in very same region for much of our lives, and not knowing each other because you were up in Netherland, right? And I was in Boulder.
Yeah.
Right. When you were in Netherland, I was in Boulder,
uh-huh.
We were pre-chiropractic. But one of the things I love is I've seen this all week and I've seen it all last week is the people coming out and enjoying Colorado and
mm-hmm.
making a vacation out of it and staying, a day or two. I just saw a picture. Steve Shargle is still up here. He's up in Netherland.
Nice.
And
nice.
He's been camping. He's like, this is the greatest place that they don't just come to a program, but they come to a state that's a great place to vacation for a day or two. I think if you're going to come out here, that just adds to it.
Yes. There's Liam and I were talking about this when they were visiting Durango last week. There's more to see in Colorado than you can ever really see in a lifetime.
Totally.
It's an incredible place and I feel lucky to live here. And what a great opportunity for people to come out here and get a nice dose of the mountains while they're here.
We still do a lot of our vacationing in Colorado.
We do too.
Because there's a lot of places, and we try not to go to the same place. So it's something like you can do every year, and I would recommend people do, because there's, it's a great place to not only live, but to, you know, to visit. So, and, you know, one other thing that I notice from each year is now this community is growing, and there's more connection to them, and there's more involvement on a state level, which I want to see that happen, you know, throughout the country, you know, that people get more involved so that we can shift the chiropractic vision and tide more towards a vitalistic model. And, you know, very interesting that you use the phrase that, you know, that first adjustment that you had, that first structural adjustment that you had, that you felt like it opened your soul. You know, that's such an interesting way to say it when you think of our philosophy. You know, chiropractic philosophy and universal intelligence and intelligence and them being in connection and having this expression, you know, experience of this deeper connection, you know, to source, is huge. So
it's huge.
Really. Now, talking about that, what are some things over the 3 years? And I know I don't want to put you in a place where like I've got to leave, I'm going to leave someone out and feel bad. Nobody will feel that way. Some highlights over the last 3 years. It could be this year or about any of the years that were like these were great moments or parts of the program or speakers or something.
Yeah, I have my favorites. You know, of course, I discovered Liam Schubel, and who just knows how to get everybody really pumped up. Great. So he's been great every year. You know, just Donnie Epstein, and I haven't taken his programs. I would love to. I just haven't been to one of his other programs. So to get exposure to Donnie Epstein's wisdom and brilliance at an event like this is really extraordinary, to use his language. So that's just a super great, you know, Jake Merrick speaks there every year. He's one of my, you know, favorite chiropractors. Arno Bernier, another Durango doc, you know, who just brings a presence that is just, it just doesn't, there's just so much depth to his presence. This year, Chadwick Hawk, I think, knocked just speaking the truth where it needed to be spoken. He just he's not afraid to just bring things up, you know, that need to be brought up. And he really inspired me this year a lot.
You know, and I really, there's two things I really like about this weekend is one, the quality of the speakers and content. And, you know, there's a certain vibe that we go for. And we're very careful about who we select because we want people that really are there, that care about the future of chiropractic and helping chiropractors make more impact and be better practitioners through their philosophy, through their vision, and through their business strategies. So we're really cautious about that. But in addition to the content, what is also truly, I find amazing, is the community, the experience of being there, the conversations you have in between the speakers, the conversations you have in the restaurant or on the breaks. Those are tremendous.
Yeah, and I get a chance to connect with some LifeWest alum that I went to school with at these events that I would never see otherwise, and that's just, it's really fun to come back, you know, 8 years after graduating and be like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
So, yeah, and that's incredible. So now, one other thing that I want to ask, thinking back of it, what, this you may have to reach into your brain a little bit for,
but
what was a, in any of the years, okay, this year or any of the ones you've attended, I think you've even listened to the audios of Mile High One because we have all of those available. You know, people can grab those online. You miss the experience of being there, but you can, you know, stream in audio, video, listen, which is what I do. But with all that content, what was something that was a big aha philosophically, or big aha for practice that you really valued?
Oh, gosh. Well, I have a couple things to say. The first is, you know, of course, I know what a subluxation is, and I studied Sue Brown's work, so it's a very complex definition of subluxation coming from her. But after going to Mile High my first year, I was driving home, and I'm like, oh, yeah, subluxation is a bone out of place, putting pressure on a nerve, cutting off the life force to the organs and tissues, you know. It's disrupting the brain-body connection, and now I can communicate that to people in a way that's so simple.
Right.
And like this year after the event, I'm coming home and I'm a woman, a local woman here in Durango sent me an article from Australia about how chiropractic needs to be to do these 8 things to be more accepted as primary care or whatever.
Ooh.
And it was the other side of the fence, right? And I skimmed it. I'm like, this doesn't affect me at all because I stand for, you know, the detection, correction, analysis of vertebral subluxation, nothing more, nothing less. And it just has given me just a platform to stand on and just so much confidence in what I'm doing that I just feel so grounded in who I am and what I'm doing because of Mile High.
That's part of what we want to provide.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, like you said, CE, like we have the hours of CE that, you know, mm-hmm. that many people need. And I would know, I would get things in the mail, postcards, everybody does. You know, advertisements for CE, it's the next whiplash seminar, it's the next mm-hmm. how to do physical exams for sports physicals, whatever.
You acupuncture.
Know, right. You know, do acupuncture for your CE. You know,
right.
not that, hey, if that all any of those things are your bag, I'm not being negative about it. I wanted to provide that you could actually take continuing education on chiropractic. Because if we're going to be better chiropractors, we have to understand more about the science of subluxation, about adjusting. And I want to provide actual material that would help people have certainty about what they do in locating, analyzing, and correcting subluxations from a variety of vantage points. And there's a lot of that information out there. And I think it's a shisty when people are getting their continuing education doing something that's like a different, like homeopathy. Not that there's anything wrong with homeopathy,
right.
but like, why are you getting homeopathy for your CE when you're a chiropractor?
Yeah, your intention is coming to life, Danny. It's working because it's made me just a much more confident chiropractor on so many levels. And I also want to say one thing about what you've brought to it every year, speaking about the politics. It's you've lit a fire. I never thought about being involved or about even wanting to be involved in my state. And you've brought this awareness to the Mile High audience. I didn't know, you know, what was going on. I am way down here in Durango. As it is, I would have to drive 4 hours to my district meeting, but maybe I can get that changed, 4 hours through the mountains.
Yeah.
to get to Grand Junction. But anyway, you know, your picture of the cartel and where's your money going? And I'm going to print that out and hang that on my wall to make sure that, you know, that my money stays out of that. And I just really value what you've brought to it because I want to serve in that capacity when the time is right for me.
Well, and there you go. And people can do that in little things and big things, you know, they're whatever fits them. Even just what you just said, making sure my money doesn't go to the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
That in of itself is doing something,
mm-hmm.
you know, or making sure the companies you work with are in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
That in of itself is a huge step. And even just going to a district meeting, voting is a huge step. You don't have to necessarily be on a board, man.
No.
But we all can play our part in being conscious of what's going on in chiropractic versus I was unconscious until I was on the Sherman Chiropractic Board. And then all this stuff became vivid to me. And I was like, here I am. And I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing in my practice. But meanwhile, I don't know if chiropractic will be around as I know it to be as a philosophy, science, and art. So
mm-hmm.
that was big, you know, driving why. So I'm glad I picked up on that.
Yeah, no, I'm in there. I've got the why behind me too. So I want to do what I can to contribute.
Right.
And even after my first year at Mile High, I switched to Chiro Futures as my malpractice person. You know, I just want to stay congruent. And I love that you're bringing awareness to that because I think most of us know that we're not being congruent in our choices where we're making to spend our money in the profession.
Right. Well, sometimes people are like, I'm so congruent philosophically with all these things, but then I'm giving money to my destruction and don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
And we don't realize it. So it's really
right.
nice that you're sort of unearthing that
yeah.
and bringing it to light. So
good. Well, I'm really grateful to get the time with you on this podcast. I'm grateful to have you as part of the Mile High family and community. Is there any other thoughts that you want to share?
I just say, if you're watching this and you're watching these podcasts and you have any inclination whatsoever, Mile High, just do it. Just find a way to do it because it'll change your life.
Yep. August is Mile High Month. And
yes.
So,
it is.
You mark your calendar. Don't plan anything else.
Right. Exactly. I talk to people who are like, oh, I had such and such plans. And I'm like, what? You had plans? It's Mile High. That is the plan.
That is the plan. There you go. So thank you for being part of the community. And I'll remind people again, you can through www.milehighchiro.org, you can get audio and video streaming access to any of the last 4 years. And you can also register for next year until September 30th, the t-shirts and the guidebooks. And it's at a 50% from what the at the door registration. So making the plan and committing to something now and marking your calendar before like a barbecue comes up that you got to go to, you know, something like that is a good idea. Thank you for being part of Mile High. We really appreciate you, Stephanie.
Thank you so much.
Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/MileHighCairo.